Hey guys, welcome to episode 20 of the Gamer Horizon After Hours podcast. This is Alex, and I am joined by Sean and Ted. How's it going, folks?
Titanfall?
That's supposed to remind me of a joke. I don't remember what it is, sadly.
Titanfall.
Okay, well, whatever. Do you guys both
I wonder how long I can say that before I drive it into the ground, but I think, you know, you get my point.
Like, I mean, the way that you were saying it kind of reminded me of that one scene in, like, Being John Malkovich, where everybody was just saying Malkovich.
Well, if you're going to do a joke where you say one word over and over, there's really only so many places you can take it.
This is true. How are you guys doing?
Good. I worked a long day today, but, you know, you got to make that programmer money. You got to work this programmer hours.
Got to make the paper. That's what you got to do. So, yeah, Titanfall today. How is the install going, Sean?
Actually, I was smart and rented it from Gamefly, so I installed it from the disk, and then I redeemed the code, and I don't have to install it from the internet. I don't have to download it.
See, you can't see me right now, but I'm making, like, a fist pump kind of, like, you know, agreement.
I'm really happy about that. Although I thought, so the game completely installs itself from the disk? I didn't think all games did that. Huh.
Yeah, it completely installs itself from the disk.
And on the PlayStation 4, if you get a disk-based game, it doesn't install completely everything on the disk, but it installs a very decent chunk, but the downloaded games are even taller, but bigger.
Well, from what my understanding is of the PlayStation 4, it's twofold. It's usually cacheting the disk, which is a little bit different, obviously, than downloading it or installing it, and then it does that enough for you to play it. And then you could start playing it, and it does it in the background.
And it does the rest of the install.
Yes, it's fully installed by the time you're done playing after, like, an hour or two.
Wow.
So I got home, and everyone knows by now, I'm sure you remember because this will be in the past, but Xbox Live was having a decent chunk of problems today from about, what, 2 to 8?
2 to 8? No, Ted, no. I started at 1, and that was going on for an hour before it happened to me.
Ah, good point. I went to GameStop to pick up my pre-order, which was a digital pre-order. I got the poster, but all I got was a code. And the guy says, I was told earlier, I say to the guy, this is over the phone, can I just buy this game because isn't this a cash code? He said, no, it's a code for the game. I go to GameStop. Nope, it's a $60 cash code. That's all it is. But the point that I pre-ordered Titanfall lets me get the poster. So it's basically like a pre-order for a cash card with pre-order incentives. It's what it is.
It's the future.
So I redeemed the code for $60. Another fun fact, if you want to download an Xbox 360 game from your PC, it's marketplace.xbox.com. If you want to download an Xbox One game, it's store.xbox.com.
You know what I found out today, too, on Marketplace? Basically, you know how you can have 1,000 friends on Xbox Live now?
Yes.
Well, if you go to xbox.com, you're still capped at 100.
Yes.
So I don't know. Did they not get the memo?
Insider program joke, but they're trying to get to version 1.1 of TypeScript.
That's, I don't get it.
Yeah. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
I
could
have
made that joke funnier. They're trying to. What's the other joke? They're trying to improve on. You know what? Fuck it. Programming is weird. There you go.
All I know is that I've had my Xbox since 1 o'clock, and literally 30 minutes before this podcast started recording, everything started to finally work.
I've had Xbox since a random day in December when I got really bored. But now you have one. You are the second member of Gamer Horizon to have an Xbox One. And as also someone who owns a PlayStation 4, I actually want to hear your thoughts.
I had plenty of time to do other things. So I fucked around with the voice commands, and they're really good.
Really? Because I've had accuracy issues all the time, although it's getting better at recognizing my girlfriend. It, you know, all the time.
I'd say about 98% of the times I said something today, it did it.
That's higher than me. So,
and good, I was just guessing things like Xbox back, or I would just say, you know, Xbox back, and it would go back. You know, obviously there's Xbox go home, Xbox go to settings, and all that stuff. So it worked really well. So yeah, I'm super impressed. And then I went through the tutorial with the hand gestures. What a cumbersome, shitty thing that is. I will, until we get a 1-to-1, like literal 1-to-1, motion controls are shit.
I didn't know if there were hand gestures. I thought you waved your hand and the hand thing came up like on the 360.
No, there's like hand gestures and you can grab the and scroll, and it was just such a mess.
That's dumb and boring. I'd rather use my voice.
I know. Why am I doing all this?
You can launch any game you own from anywhere just by saying its name. It's so great.
Yeah, it is. It's super, super impressive in terms of like the voice commands and stuff. I turned off the hand gestures when you're watching video.
Yep.
So, I put it on top of my, I mounted it on top of my TV, and that has a cover. So I might put that cover over the camera.
Did you get the optical audio working?
Yeah, the optical audio was working. I'm an idiot. That's all that was.
Okay, whatever. I don't care.
Because I bought a new switcher that has a remote, and it was on channel 3 instead of 2.
That's fine. So I've had the optical audio patch for a few days. I don't know what to tell you. It didn't work before. Now it does. The end. Like I said, Xbox One launches today. You're getting all the features you should get, like Twitch streaming, optical audio, better friends lists, battery indicator.
Yeah, I feel like I'm getting a complete system now.
Obviously, you haven't had time to play it. If you ever want to play something besides Titanfall, Killer Instinct is free, and you can like mess around with that, I guess.
I'll download that. Is it free, or is it just one character is free?
One character is in rotation for free, so you will get to play as different characters when they decide you do.
Okay, I'll do it. I downloaded Project Spark, too.
Oh, yeah, that's out in beta. That's right. It's finally out.
I downloaded that. I haven't touched... I literally have not, have not done anything involving games.
You know, now you can also get really weird trophies. I've got 2 Hulu trophy achievements and 1 Netflix achievement.
They don't fuck with your gamer score.
Yeah, that would be dumb. Although there are non-gamer score limited time achievements that do have certain benefits. Like in Killer Instinct, if you get the limited time achievements, you get in-game points. It's fine, I guess. Alex, how is it in... current gen world.
Oh, you know, this is amazing. Oh my god. South Park that still exists, right? Oh,
well,
dear.
You know what else came out today? Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, something I'm not interested in.
But it is a big title.
Yeah, it is a big title. It should not be underscored. It definitely is like one of those titles that people have been waiting for a very long time, and I've seen the reviews, and I'm still not interested in it.
No, that's fine. I understand that.
Yes.
But
hey, Alex.
Yeah.
I heard... Ari said that it took him 21 hours to beat South Park.
Whoa!
And I read somewhere else that it could it took up to a guy about 25 to 30 hours. Ooh. So it's a pretty involved game if you go looking for stuff.
But that's not bad though. I mean, you know, typically a single player RPG is about 40 hours. So it's like, you know, the fact that 100%ing this game is only about 25 hours for an RPG, that's actually not bad.
But
no,
you also have to think about the quality of those 20 hours. I mean, I just finished it yesterday as well, and I got to tell you, I paid $60 for a game I beat in about 16 hours, and I can tell you, no regrets at all.
No regrets. Yeah.
It was amazing. Every hour was amazing. Without spoiling anything, the Underpants Gnomes boss fight is...
Yeah, you were telling me about that Saturday, and it's like you can't even like you had difficulty trying to even convey what it is. It's kind of funny.
Well, there's that one attack, and if you've played the game and you know what I'm talking about, that one attack, let's just call it the indirect attack. You're just like they put that in a game.
Mm-hmm. Now I guess the question is that should we have like some sort of spoiler cast for that in the future, maybe?
There's not a lot. You know, the funny thing is, there's not a lot to spoil. There's not that many plot points. The spoilers are just for awesome things that happen in the game that you don't want to reveal.
Well, that's part of it. That's part of it.
Yeah.
You guys could talk about that stuff. You guys were laughing. I mean, when I was editing the podcast, it was just funny because it was like you couldn't even speak a sentence without laughing. So I feel like having that on a – that would be entertaining to listen to.
The only thing I didn't –
beaten the game.
Yep.
The only thing I didn't like is near the end of the game, they wholesale reuse a joke from an episode of South Park. I'll just say it, they reused the Morgan Freeman joke.
The pooper took a pee?
No, the basically he says – every time I explain something, I get a freckle.
Oh, that one. Nice.
It's wholesale repeated it. Because I feel like a lot of the people that are buying this game haven't seen South Park in like 11 or 12 years. They think Kenny dies in every episode.
Sure.
And, you know.
Although, don't you get it?
That's not a thing anymore?
Although you do get an achievement for that, right?
Well, first of all, Sean, it isn't, but it isn't in one of the greatest ways. One of the last episodes of season 5 is called Kenny Dies, and it's hilarious because Kenny has a like a mysterious illness and he's dying from it, and everyone is so sad because Kenny's dying, which is funny in and of itself. Yeah. But I'll tell you, the episode isn't that funny. They do some jokes, but there's actually a lot of really sad moments. And then the last 10 seconds, you realize the whole episode has been building to like the most anticlimactic joke, but it's so funny. I think it's one of the funniest jokes they've ever done because they basically sacrifice an entire episode for one joke, and it's worth it.
Are we talking about like the game or the
show?
Oh, okay.
And until
because I was confused that I thought Kenny still died in every episode.
No, they only kill him when it's really, really, really funny.
Hmm.
Well, he died. He used to die in every episode.
He died when Michael Jackson killed him, and then he died in a Lucha Libre accident, and then they were. And then there's actually a trilogy where they reveal why he can't stay dead.
Ah.
That's
I gotta go back to watch that show, because I really did like it. But I have my problem, and it's nothing at South Park, and I think South Park's really funny. I just have a hard time keeping up with cartoon shows or shows that don't have a season-long storyline.
There is continuity, though, oddly enough.
Continuity is one thing, but, like, I'm talking about, like, you know, Buffy or Lost or
right.
Star Galactica or The Shield. Like, those are the shows that keep me invested from beginning to end because I need to see what happens next. Where South Park, you can miss a couple episodes.
Right.
You might not get some
this
of the jokes.
This is true, yeah.
But they've added so many ancillary characters. Like, they've added so many kids. They've added Scott Malkinson, the ginger with the power of diabetes. they made Butters into basically one of the main characters. The goth kids have recurring roles. The latest episode with the goth kids was amazing. I just want to say the goth kids versus the emo kids.
Yeah.
That's
good. I do have a question though. Does Mantequilla come back as a character?
No. However, for those little things, if you go look at go to the bedrooms of all the boys and you look in the closets, you can see like all these references. Like, you see Butter's hat from when he was Mantequilla. You see his Professor Chaos helmet. You go to Cartman, you see his Osimo robot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of Casa Bonita references, amazingly.
Yeah, oddly enough. But, it's interesting just kind of walking around that town and just kind of, like, really getting a feel of
and
the geography.
And one other thing that cracked me up, if you look hard enough and you know where to look, you can actually see the uncensored version of the time Cartman put Butter's dick in his mouth and took a picture.
No way.
It's in there.
I gotta find it now.
It is in there.
Jesus. Is Jesus in it?
Oh, yeah, Jesus is one of the summons. He's a summon spell.
I heard Jesus is a summons.
I want to spoil half of this because it's too funny not to. You go to the priest, and he's all mad at you for playing Dungeons & Dragons, this satanic game, and you need to go find Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells you, go to the church and find Jesus. So you go to the church, and you're looking in the pews, and all of a sudden he pops up, and it goes, tee-hee, tee-hee.
Interesting.
And you run up to him, and you press the button, and he goes, you found me! Yay! That's not all of it, but it's so funny that it's like, you found Jesus!
Mm-hmm. Oh my god. It's crazy. Just the way
Santa Claus is in the game. He's actually really hard to find.
We're getting closer to spoiler territory here.
No. Good luck finding Santa. He's in the game.
Yeah,
it's not
somewhere.
A spoiler that he's in the game.
Yeah.
Santa's a recurring character.
I know, but it's like, here's the thing. This is where I'm coming from. If you know, like, unless it's he's on the cover of the box, you don't know that that's in the game, and you find it, and that's a cool thing to discover. You know what I mean?
I'll be honest. I can't think of too many regular South Park characters that aren't in the game. Maybe the woodland critters, and that's really it.
Yeah.
Although, now that I think about it, the woodland critters kind of have a cameo.
So
indirectly,
so
and
pretty
it's
much
fucked up.
So pretty much every single South Park character seems to be in this.
Although Chef? One thing is, Chef. Oh, that's a spoiler.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. We stop. We stop. Yeah, let's stop this. Let's stop this. Okay.
Anyway, okay. So. And you know what we have next week? Actually, by the time you hear this, it'll be out. Metal Gear Solid 5 Ground Zeroes, Final Fantasy X HD Remix.
You know,
maybe some Nintendo game.
I want to be excited about.
What day is that?
The 18th, 1 week from today. Oh, okay. Both of those come out.
And then the following Friday is Infamous, right?
Yep.
Yep. It's a good month.
Wait for that.
Good month. You know, I've been kind of really hesitant about like 10. Like, I mean, I want to get it, but it's like I might be getting it on the Vita, and I might just get 10, because 10-2 does not sit well with me at all, that game.
Well, no, if you buy it on the Vita, it's still both games.
Really? Oh, okay. Yep. All right.
Yeah, one's a download code. They just don't give
yes,
it to you.
The cartridge gives you 10, mm-hmm. and then you get a download code for 10-2. And by the way, both games, if you choose to download them, both games take up 3.7 gigs.
Oh, jeez. Did they release the new memory card yet?
No, but PlayAsia has them for 110, which is actually considering the size difference, 110 for a 64 gig compared to the current prices, that's not bad.
That's like
I'm dead serious.
But that's like a quarter towards like the money that I'm going to be putting on a PS4, for crying out loud.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
Yeah, think about that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we don't have. I don't have disposable income right now, so I mean.
I'm just telling you how it is. As you know, I do dumb things with my money, and I do have a 64 gig card, which I am down to 500 makes free.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly beat. Yeah, I beat the crap out of that card. I downloaded Danganronpa. I'm thinking maybe I should have gotten the cartridge version of that, but it is what it is.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Vita's
getting. Oh yeah, the PlayStation Store probably updated as we were recording this. No, it's not. The PlayStation Store update is greatly delayed. I believe it has something to do with Xbox Live. Kind of joking, kind of not joking.
Really? I mean,
yeah,
did they announce like what game's going to be like free this week?
Oh yeah, that is going to be. Oh god, that's Lone Survivor.
Okay.
It's an indie game that looks very 8-bit. Yeah, I have it as well. There's also
a
sale.
I turned it on, saw what it looked like, and then I turned it right off.
There is a sale on the Call of Duty series as well, but the big games coming out today digitally would be Towerfall for PlayStation 4.
Ooh, Towerfall Ascension.
Yes, in other words, the only reason to own an Ouya. Which, by the way, now that the Ouya is available without actually owning an Ouya console, what was the point of the Kickstarter?
I don't know.
Did you hear about this, Sean? That the Ouya is now available? The Ouya is no longer going to be a hardware platform. You can still get an Ouya console, but basically it's going to be... It's already available on Mad Catz's Android console called the Mojo, and it's going to be made available to PCs, so... and Macs, probably. So basically it's just like a really shitty version of Steam now.
Or Android, pretty much. I mean, that's what it is, right?
I hope
play it on Android this
point. I really hope you enjoyed backing the future of consoles, you idiots.
Oh my god, I remember when those fuckers like were at E3. Unbelievable, man.
This is going to sound funny coming from me, but I actually kind of feel bad for them. I thought they were trying to do something pretty cool. I was interested in it, but it was just a mess.
Look. At first, you know, like, I was already skeptical about this company because the person who heads the company used to be a producer for one of the shows of, like, IGN. I'm like, if that's your cred and your cred is not from game development, you already had, like, signs, like, you know, written on the walls there. I mean, but I'm kind of like with Sean here, like, you know, like, nobody wishes, like, console manufacturers to fucking die, you know, but... You kind of see like where this was heading already, even before it actually got funded, you know. So yeah, Anyways.
I'm actually on the Ouya's website right now to see if there's any new games. There's something called Shadow Blade came out this month.
Interesting.
That's a game. I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
Number 5 is Amazing Frog TV Time, and number 6 is Fist Puncher.
Great. This sounds like a bootleg, like, NES, like, console at this point.
Speaking of that, number 7 is a PlayStation emulator, and number 8 is a Super Nintendo emulator.
Oh,
and number 10 is XBMC.
Okay.
Which is the media thing.
Mm-hmm.
This is awful.
Yeah.
What's interesting is there's actually an exclusive game on Ouya based on the hits Steam game Killing Floor. That's...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ted, have you played anything else besides South Park?
This week, I did dabble in some Killer Instinct. I did finish 1954 Alcatraz, which my review is now up on the website. That came out today as we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I like when I get pre-release copies. I feel like, you know, regardless of the fact that I am contractually obligated to review the game, I do feel special. And I don't get the biggest pre-release games. I got this. I got Aquapazza. But honestly, any publisher who gives us a pre-release game helps us grow. And I do want to give a shout out to those publishers. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's your kind of quick assessment of it?
It's a adventure game that I feel like is a victim of some of its own ideas. For example, you're given the ability to make certain choices in the game, but at the end, you get to play as both characters, and you get to dynamically react to each other by the dialogue choices, so you can say anything you want and have the other person forgive them. It's like, well, you took the legs out of that.
Wow.
I thought the puzzles were logical, though. I really like the environment. There's a lot, like, everyone is an artist and a painter and a poet, which sounds weird until you realize that in 1954 San Francisco in North Beach, where the game takes place, that was literally
what was
happening. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's unrealistic until you realize it was the God's honest truth.
Mm-hmm.
It uses 2D backgrounds with 3D characters, and the 2D backgrounds are honestly really pretty, and I really like the approach, and it doesn't seem like they don't belong there. It seems like they fit right in.
Mm-hmm.
So it actually works great, and I think it's better than if they had done 3D backgrounds. Music's great. It's a great atmosphere, and I liked the journey, perhaps. I think I like the non-game aspects more than the game aspects, which seems strange, but I'm gradually coming away from the thought that a game has to be a collection of rules. I used to think that very rigidly, and I'm starting to come away from that, and I'm seeing it as more, you know, if something wants to be an interactive experience, that's still entertainment in a different form, and mm-hmm. I'm willing to accept that.
Okay.
I'm not as rigid as you, Ted, but I still feel like a game should be a game for me to call it a game. Like, I would never call Gone Home a game. I barely would call Journey a game.
I think we need better words. I think we just don't have the vocabulary.
Well,
I think interactive experience is good.
I mean, interactive entertainment is basically what our industry calls ourselves, right?
When you're talking about a game, I tend to think of a situation where you can either win or lose based on the rules provided to you.
Exactly.
Right. I mean, hence why interactive entertainment is the chosen, you know, like, verbiage for it, you know? So,
there are places in 1954 Alcatraz you can, in fact, lose, and you can get a game over, but there's just a few of them.
Okay. Well, I mean, pretty much, like, you know, all your stuff is on your review, right?
Yes. Check out my review at GamerHorizon.com.
Nice plug.
I hope that's where you are listening to this from, or you know why you're listening to a podcast called Gamer Horizon.
Especially Gamer Horizon After Hours, where the fucking crew is actually, like, talking after hours about video games. I mean, that's
barely after hours for me, man. we're coming up on the first release for our website at work. I don't think it's appropriate for me to plug what I do for a living or where I work, but I work for a decently sized company.
Okay. All right. Well,
so there's pressure.
All right, we're not going to talk about that. Sean, how's Persona 4? What have you been playing?
Okay, how's Persona 4? What have you been playing?
Both!
I played The Walking Dead Episode 2, House Divided.
Mm-hmm.
That was really fucking good.
Okay, cause I just got to say, I just got my season pass for Season 2, so definitely going to play that.
I came away from Episode 1 kind of feeling meh. It was fine. I wanted to see, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But man, did they fucking nail it. I mean, this was
really
from beginning to end really fucking good.
Okay.
Just the pacing was good. The writing was good. The acting was really good. The performance was good.
Yeah.
It ran well. Like, that was a surprise.
You're playing it on PS3?
No, Xbox 360.
Okay, 360.
Yeah, I played the first season on Xbox 360, and I wanted all my saves to carry over.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, I mean, it's really good. Between this and The Wolf Among Us, man, Telltale is really knocking it out of the park right now.
I can't wait to see what they're going to be doing for the Tales for Borderlands game.
I'm kind of curious, especially, I mean, I have faith in them because both of these stories are really good.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the other two make sense because they're comic books. Like, they're taking a game that looks like a comic book and taking out all the things that made Borderlands fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just focusing on a story. And it's Telltale telling the story, so, I mean, I trust that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like the Borderlands story and the universe isn't the most interesting to me in terms of that part of it. Like, aesthetically it is, and, like, the little things here or there are,
right.
But there's no... It's not a world that I'm like, oh, I can't wait to jump back in and not shoot things. You know what I mean?
I know.
So, I mean, hopefully that'll be good. I'm more excited for their Game of Thrones game.
That's right. Did they have a timeline for that yet?
I can barely remember that. I forgot they announced that game and the Borderlands game, the same event.
If we talk about the news that I posted about The Witcher, we can kind of tie that into how timelines don't mean a goddamn thing.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But Telltale's doing really well. And, you know, after playing, like, the first episode of Season 2 for Walking Dead, I was fucking worried as shit. Because, I mean, I think I remember talking about it either here on this podcast or in the other podcast, Social Link, like, that's... You know, it was beginning to, like, feel like torture porn almost, like for with Clementine. But I am really, really happy that they somehow turned it around in episode 2.
Yeah, wait. Just wait.
Okay. Definitely.
I literally, like, it sucks because I can't talk. This is the same thing that happened with The Wolf Among Us. I cannot talk about it at all because it will spoil it and it will ruin great things in those games.
God,
in both those episodes.
God damn it. Okay. Persona 4 Progress?
Persona 4, I got Kanji. I'm waiting for him to rest. And basically, I've just been hanging out with everybody that I can to try and get... I think I'm level 5 Social Link with Yukiko and Chie. And I think I'm level 4 with Yosuke.
Not bad.
I think I'm level 3 with the... What's the little girl's name? I forget her name.
Nanako?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm level 3 with her. I still can't talk to...
Dojima?
Yeah, Dojima, because my expression isn't high enough.
Oh, Jesus.
I need it to be eloquent, and I'm not eloquent. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much what I've been doing, just hanging out with people, just talking to them, hanging out whenever they want me to. And
have you started reading books and stuff like that to improve your...
I did start reading books, but it takes you 4 days to read a 4-chapter book, so...
Yeah.
And then some nights I don't even get a chance to read because the game says... just funnels me right to bed.
Yeah, that's the part that sucks. But it's going to give you a lot more freedom towards, like, you know, towards this part of the game where you're at right now. So I'm really curious if you're going to be able to, like, actually solve the mystery, because there is an element that can put you towards one of, I want to say, 3 endings? 3 or 4.
Oh, cool.
at this point. So definitely, like, use all those saves. You're going to need it.
I see. I have all 16 of them going, and I just rotate.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Okay, and so that's it, right, for you?
Yeah, that's it.
For me, I actually wasn't able to touch, like, South Park this week. I did watch Ted play a little bit of Killer Instinct when we hung out this weekend. Great-looking game. I mean, I was really impressed. I mean, you know, I didn't play any of it because I was like, you know, I just, come on, like... I hadn't played, like, Killer Instinct since the Super Nintendo. Like,
I have gotten used to it, and I care more about, like, the gameplay than the graphics. I'm completely used to the graphics, which might be a shame, but it is what it is. I believe that was your first time getting to see whatever you wanted to see of the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically what happened on Saturday was Ted and I hung out, and he basically gave me a tour of the interface for both. And, you know, it is really, really interesting, like, how they implemented all that stuff. And, you know, Sean, to your point, when you're talking about the rarity for the trophies, I didn't know that they showed rarity for PS3 and Vita games as well.
Yep.
That was, like, shocking to me. I was like, what? That's insane. They've been tracking this all this time, and we just didn't know it. Like, it was under our noses. It's pretty incredible shit. But definitely, like, the interfaces are, like, really smooth. They're really fast. What I wanted to kind of see, though, when I was over at Ted's was to kind of see, like, how the whole install process works for both. But considering Ted had already basically bought every single game that's come out for both PS4 and Xbox One, highly unlikely.
Hey, I only had the exclusives on Xbox One, and I've already sold back Rise. I don't see myself playing the multiplayer, and... Amazon was going to give me $18. GameStop gave me $35 for Rise. That seems like I'm stealing money from them.
No, not at all.
There's no way I could get $35 for that on the internet. No human would pay that.
Yeah.
Well, it's like $40. You can uninstall and reinstall the game.
Yeah.
I had it on disk, actually, so yeah. I uninstalled it, and I will never reinstall it.
That's great. So yeah, that's pretty much all really. Oh, and I guess like this is kind of a big deal. Like tonight I actually finished watching Battlestar Galactica, you know, through 2004 series. Yay.
Oh, you watched the whole thing?
My roommate and I have been like watching the whole thing for the past 3 months, and we finally fucking finished it.
Isn't that the most one of the best shows you've ever seen?
It is. Like that last scene was, I mean, that last episode was pretty crazy. I mean,
that show is awesome.
I have nothing to complain about that. There was maybe one filler episode that I didn't really kind of.
Towards the end of season three, there's a lot of filler.
Yeah.
But that's it. You get four really amazing seasons and three and a half really amazing seasons.
Yeah. Yeah. They did a really good job of it. And I think the next thing we're going to start watching, according to my roommate, is Breaking Bad, which I never started. So.
Breaking Bad's good, but I don't think it's as good as everyone thinks it is.
Well, you know what's funny is I watched the finale, not the whole season.
That sucks. Well, you just killed it. There's no point.
Well, I've kind of forgotten it, so I mean, I know what's going to happen at the end.
You know what? I'm going to recommend you something. Watch The Shield.
Okay. I think we...
The Shield is my second favorite TV show of all time.
Oh, really? So what was your first?
Wow.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, you and my girlfriend would get along.
Okay. Speaking of which, Ted, do you want to do something to preface your audio review of Danganronpa before we play it?
Yeah. Basically, when Ari got the preview code for Danganronpa, I said, I wanted to play that so bad! Because, look, I love puzzle games. I love visual novels. It's basically Phoenix Wright meets 999, and why the hell didn't I get to review it? But it was neat to see someone who has never played 999 or Phoenix Wright review the game. So he gave it his score. And I wanted to review it and publish my review based on someone who was deep into that genre. So I was struggling a little bit, kept finding some time to write the review, and then Alex, you said, why don't you just record it? We'll put it into a podcast. So I previously recorded a audio review of Danganronpa, and I guess we'll play it for you right now. Hey there, Gamer Horizon fans and listeners of the After Hours podcast. This is Ted, and I know recently we reviewed a Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc for the PlayStation Vita, and Ari gave that game a 7. Now, in general, I don't try to butt in or argue with anybody else's reviews, and I'm not going to do that here either, but the interesting thing here is that Ari gave that game a 7, having never played anything like a Phoenix Wright game or really anything close to a visual novel, and I wanted to give my take on it as someone who's played every Phoenix Wright game, loves the crap out of 999. If I review that game today, give it a 10. Loved VLR, Virtue's Last Reward. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Danganronpa today. So the plot of Danganronpa is... I loved it. It is set in a Japanese high school, and there's a bit of cliche to that at this point, but it goes somewhere pretty dark pretty fast. You are the most average of the average high school kids. They beat it into your head that you're, like, so ridiculously average. You're going to this school for elites. You have, like, the greatest pop star, the greatest fashionista, the greatest baseball star, the greatest motorcycle gang leader. You have a lot of these greatests. And you're the greatest lucky student because you got randomly chosen to join. So they beat it into your head that, yeah, you're completely ordinary. So you go to the school, but something happens, you find yourself locked in with 14 other kids, and the only way out is to kill someone and get away with it. Welcome to Danganronpa. So it's a linear game. The same things happen every playthrough. The same people are going to get killed. Oh, spoilers, yes, people are going to die. It's linear, but I really like the story, especially the way they play with tropes. The way they, without spoiling anything, the way they set up the first kill was just, I loved it. I did not expect that. Totally loved it. Storyline's pretty good. You definitely get the feeling that you're stuck here. There's just these weird moments of hope, splintered by despair. That's the point of the game. It's about hope versus despair, which you'll find out as you play through the game. My favorite characters, I definitely like Byakuya, who is voiced by a member of NeoGAF for the English dub. Shoutouts to Feep. The English dub, by and large, is very good. I would have to say, with the exception of Monokuma, the crazy teddy bear that is running this killing game, mainly because in the Japanese voiceover, he's done very cutesy. It's a strange voice, and they didn't try to do it in the English dub, and I don't blame them. That would be way too hard to pull off correctly, and probably way too creepy. The Japanese voice is pretty creepy enough as it is. That being said, I do have a few complaints about the gameplay. While you have moments where you basically try to find the false statements that the people are making in trials, when you have to figure out who is the person who committed the murder, then there are moments that don't make any sense. For example, you have to figure out what word to spell, and they basically give you the word. Or there's a moment where you have to defeat your opponent in a rhythm game, which really doesn't fit here. When you think about it compared to other rhythm game, not rhythm games, other visual novels, it's a nice change of pace for the gameplay, but really, let me just figure out who did the crime and try to solve that and move forward. As ultimate twists go, the best twists are the ones they tell you about at the very beginning, but you don't notice. For example, Virtue's Last Reward has a great twist that they actually tell you about from pretty much the beginning of the game, if you're paying very close attention. This one, not so much. I still liked it. In the end, it made me sad to see all the characters I would like and try to grow close to end up getting killed. What makes up for that is once you beat the game, you unlock a school mode where they kind of make fun of the fact that it's a self-aware mode, so to speak, and you get to get closer to a bunch of people. Nobody dies in this mode. It's kind of a neat, very light role-playing game mode. For some reason, it's probably way better to me than it actually is. It's a nice catharsis after the emotional roller coaster you go through. I like it. It's got clear flaws. I think the some of the gameplay elements don't fit. I think they're just trying to do something to be different from other visual novels. I'll give them credit for that. This is also a game that's very steeped in the fact that it's a Japanese game. There's a lot of themes here and a lot of undercurrents that if you're not Japanese, and if you're listening to this, you're likely not a native Japanese citizen, that just won't be as impactful. If you've studied the culture, you'll recognize the kind of themes they're trying to get at. I'll give them credit. They make some pretty good points. That being the case, there's also some things that are left too vague. I know that a lot of these things are going to be resolved in Danganronpa 2, which has already been announced by NIS America. Man, I feel bad I screwed that up just now. It's already been announced by NIS America. The day Danganronpa came out for Vita, Danganronpa 2 has it's going to be localized and come out later this year. And I know that there's some unanswered questions that do get answered in Danganronpa 2. I haven't even spoiled myself, so I don't know. I just know that some things get answered. Overall, I'm going to give this an 8. I am going higher than Ari on this, mainly because a lot of his complaints about it were the linearity, and coming into this, I knew exactly what I was getting into. It is $40 right now. I do find it hard to recommend at $40. Maybe it should come down to $30. But overall, if you're looking for something, a really good visual novel experience, especially with the fact that Zero Escape 3 is in development limbo and you need something else. Heck, Uchikuchi, the writer himself, said, "Hey, my friend Danganronpa game came out in America. You should go play it." So yeah, it's even approved by him. Recommended at $30. Maybe wait for a sale. You know NAS America does put games on sale, so just be patient. And that is my little capsule review of Danganronpa Trigger Happy Havoc for PlayStation Vita. So that was my Danganronpa review. 8 out of 10. And they're laughing because I put in some filler audio for Sean to go back and edit in. But yeah, it's 8 out of 10. 1 point higher than Ari's. But I think a lot of our points are similar. A lot of the gameplay elements just feel really, really weird.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's what it is. But one the other problem is they don't really explain like the big thrust of the game without spoiling it. But I can tell you that if you want to find out why things are the way they are, the sequel, which is coming out this fall, goes into it.
Sweet, sweet. Okay, well, while that's happened and stuff like that, I've been preparing for, like, our news segment, and we have quite a ton of news. In fact, most of this news actually came out the week before, and then some of the news that trickled this week, but let's get right into it. So, guys, Amy Hennig has left Naughty Dog. So, yeah, kind of awkward. Isn't she responsible for a lot of, like, Uncharted?
Well, they say she wasn't forced out, even though some people say she was forced out. Other people say she wasn't forced out. I don't think those kind of things. Really, you're never going to find out who's right, and maybe we'll never know.
It's like one of those mysteries, right? Like, you know, the decision to like figure out like why fucking George Lucas wanted like Greedo to shoot first instead of Han Solo.
I just think there's a lot of these.
Well, that's easy.
Stories.
He's an idiot.
There's a lot of these stories inside the game industry that we don't hear a lot about. There was a big story, I think, on Polygon talking about the last days of Irrational. It goes really, really deep into it. But you don't hear a lot of these stories about the video game industry. You only hear a few, like maybe when Peter Molyneux cried or when Peter Molyneux cried again.
I was actually reading an article about that today.
Yeah, I heard he cried again.
Yeah, he cried again and again and again. He's like, "Don't make fun of me for GOTIS." Did you guys know that we almost had that dude on, like, you know, our podcast, and then he basically bailed out on us?
That's why I sometimes feel bad about talking about gaming luminaries. I don't feel so bad about talking about Peter Molyneux.
I have him on my Skype right now. He's online.
I also don't feel bad about talking about David Jaffe.
Oh, David Jaffe. I don't even know.
You know who
I
don't feel bad about talking about?
Hmm.
Cliffy B. What a douchebag.
What did he do
What did he do?
Oh, like 3 weeks ago. Like, it was like a month ago. He was like, you know how I feel about disc-based games, used games, and all that stuff. Basically everything that I hate. He's one of those whiny developers that thinks that every used game somehow would have equated to a sale for him. Never mind the fact that, hey, maybe those people who bought the used game might not have actually bought your game at all.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a toolbox. I can't stand him. He's like, "I'm done with disc-based games." Well, that's great, Cliffy, because I'm done with your games.
Mm-hmm.
I won't play another one of your games.
I mean, what is he making anyway? Isn't he making?
Who knows?
Yeah. I
follow him on Twitter because I'm a glutton for punishment.
Aw. Man. So I guess, you know, going back to this Amy Hennig thing, really sad thing. Like, I followed her work since, like, you know, the Soul Reaver days and Crystal D.
Yeah.
I mean, she makes some really fucking awesome shit, and hopefully Uncharted is in good hands over at Naughty Dog.
Well, here's something I don't know if you guys know, but Evan Wells and the other guy, the other co-president of Naughty Dog, issued a statement saying mm-hmm. that Neil Druckmann and Bruce Staley didn't have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
And they were pretty pissed off that their name was being dragged through the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, "All decisions come through us." Nothing said she wasn't forced out. It just basically said, if you're going to point fingers, point them at us.
Not them.
And now we're done with this shit. We're going to go back to making games.
Right. It was all, so, yeah, it's kind of weird because it's almost as if like they were just they're attempting to defuse the issue and kind of like kind of not in a way. It's kind of like, hey, we'll be the, you know, the straw man for this thing, and then, you know, we're just gonna leave you in the dust hanging and not tell you what actually happened. But
I mean, it's not our business.
No, it's not. But
it's not.
Maybe
our
that's
business.
What it is. Since it's not our business, you know, I think a lot of us in the gaming fandom. There's maybe a little bit of entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not accusing us
of being. A
little
bit.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah, that's usually not something I do, or where I tend to keep my words a little bit soft by trying to soften them up with adjectives.
There's a lot of entitled motherfuckers in video games.
Mm-hmm. It's quite a shit ton.
I will say it.
Mm-hmm. Quite a shit ton.
I will say it.
Mm-hmm.
But My other thing with Amy Hennig, though, and this, you guys know that I picked Uncharted 2 as my favorite game of the generation.
Mm-hmm.
This scares me to no end because, yeah, you might get another writer who knows the world really well, but nobody has that voice like Amy Hennig.
See,
you know what I mean?
See, my curiosity is, like, who actually injected a comedy in those characters? Because the thing is, like, Evan Wells and stuff, he's like, you know, we kind of know, like, what he did for, you know, Uncharted 2 and whatnot. But, like, he, as a writer, he's very capable. We've seen it in The Last of Us and, you know, all that stuff. But it's like, who really put, you know, like, who really, like, created Nathan Drake, I guess, is my question. And I guess, yeah, and the whole personality behind it, the comedy, the, you know, the jokes and stuff. It's going to be interesting seeing, like, the next Uncharted game without her. So
I'm very worried.
Yep. So anyways, yeah, so anyways, I want to continue talking about this, but, like, we have to move on.
Yeah.
Along the Sony side, Jack Tretton, gone from SEA.
Going out on a high note.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on a super high note.
Yeah.
And he's been around since the PS1.
I did not know that.
I don't 95. Think he's... Yeah, I don't think he's leaving for any particular, like, evil or malicious reason. I think he just either wants to do something else or he's done, or this is just, you know, he's ready to move on.
But wasn't it, like, some sort of contract renegotiation? Because I think that was, like, a, you know, that was, like, something that they said in a press release. It was something, like, they both kind of didn't agree on something, and then...
Maybe, but, you know, sometimes that works out for the best. I
never read anything like that.
And I never heard anything like that, yeah.
Yeah, he just said, it's, you know, it saddens me that it's with the heavy, you know, heavy heart that I'm saying I'm leaving Sony. But, you know, I just think it was probably like, it could have been a couple of things. It could have been like, hey, our fiscal year's coming up, you know, you might need to take a pay cut. Yeah. And he was like, no.
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah. It could have been something like that. Or he could have, maybe this was his end game. Maybe he was like, I'm going to steer this ship and I'm going to make sure that the PS4 is successful in America.
Well, the official, like, verbiage is that it was, quote unquote, a result of a mutual agreement between Mr. Tretton and SEA not to renew their contractual relationship.
Yeah.
I mean, to
that
me.
It could be anything.
But that to me is kind of like that somebody, you know, one party was displeased with, you know, the renewal of the contract.
That's what I'm saying.
The reneg didn't work. Been, yeah.
They might have said, "Hey, we're restructuring and we need to cut your pay."
Mm. Yeah.
You know? And he said, "No, thanks." You know.
Mm. I almost feel.
Or he could have. Or
more.
They could have both just said. Or he could have said, "Oh, they both." You know, they said, "We want to renew your contract," and he said, "I don't want to renew my contract," and they both agreed on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be anything. I don't think it necessarily means something bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird, though, some of the verbiage here, like, you know, the one that he wrote in, like, the PlayStation blog, it is with mixed feelings that I inform you that I will be stepping down. It's kind of like, mixed feelings? It's like, I mean, we can totally, like, deconstruct this entire, like, you know, like, press release and, of course, his blog post, but it's like, the bottom line is Jack is no longer part of Sony, and somebody by the name of Sean Layden, who used to be the vice president and COO of Sony Network Entertainment International, is basically stepping up for the role. So this E3, we're not going to see Jack. We're going to see this dude.
Well, maybe. He might not be that face.
Hmm.
That doesn't necessarily, just because he's in that position doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be the guy.
But I mean, if you look at the past, you know, E3s and stuff, like the CEO of like SEEA has always been the figurehead of those press conferences. I mean, Kaz Hirai, before he ruled all of Sony, he was the point man for, you know, the E3 shows. I mean, we can't forget about, you know, like Giant Enemy Crab and all that shit, right?
So. I guess, but I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's a lock. I hope so, because, I mean, I hope he's as likable as Jack Tretton.
Yeah. I mean, I'm curious to see, like, you know, like, if he kind of continues the whole kind of friendly, kind of perception of friendliness that Sony's kind of portrayed, like, in their press conferences and whatnot.
It kind of needs to.
Yeah, it kind of needs to at this point, especially, like, you know, this high of a note, you know? And and one of the things that we kind of talked about, Sean, not to kind of extend this conversation a little bit more, was such a contrast between Don Matrick's departure and Jack Tretton's.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely.
Holy shit.
Well, and also, I mean, it's exactly the mirror opposite if you think about it. Sony came out strong at E3. They had a great showing at E3. They released the console. It was great. And then, you know, Jack went out on a high note. Don Matrick, they revealed the Xbox. It fucking sets the internet on fire. Then he says something dumb about people should own an Xbox 360 if they can't connect to the internet. And then they reverse the decision on the Xbox One, and then he bounces.
Yep.
Sad, you know, it was just a steady stream of shit, and he bounces, and this is a steady stream of good stuff, and then Jack bounces.
Yep. So, you know, whatever you do, you know, after Sony, Jack, we will be paying attention. Hopefully it's video games still.
Don't go to Zynga. That doesn't work out.
Never does. Not,
since
not
Don
Matrick
has been the head of Zynga, haven't they done two rounds of layoffs? I mean, holy crap.
Yeah, well, they're very much
in
danger.
That's part of it.
Yeah.
That's part of what he's doing. He's over there cleaning shit up.
That's his role.
It's like, wow, we never thought Facebook gaming would die out. We better kill the Facebook department.
Speaking of cleaning shit up, Watch Dogs now has a release date and a noticeable visual downgrade. Somebody's been cleaning shit up. I don't know what to think of this. I'll be honest. Ever since they pushed it back to this year, I got worried. And I did do the comparison that a lot of people did, watching the new footage with the first footage of Watch Dogs. That game does not look anything like the first footage they showed.
It looks like the primer version. Before you lay over a really good coat of paint.
Yeah, it's like they forgot to turn on the post-processing.
Coat.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the first coat of paint. You know what I mean? Like, not the second coat, not the, like, you know, I don't know. I still think it looks good. It's if that had been what they showed, I would be like, that's a good-looking game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But, like, they showed a really, really excellent next-gen-looking game, and now we're getting a cross-gen game. And this is what I've been saying. Cross-gen development sucks. It holds games back.
Now, the question is, do you guys think that this is because they did decide to make a cross-gen? Because if you guys remember, the first announcement of the game, it was just going to be PS4. Then it became PS4 and then Xbox One. Then it became everything, you know? Even Wii U, I think.
It's still coming to
Wii
U, maybe. Delayed. But have you noticed they've said delayed and they've been very...
nebulous about it.
Yeah, you wonder.
Yeah.
Well, they flat out said that they had to pause the when they put everything on hold, they paused everybody's work on the Wii and had them come over and work on the other games.
Ugh, yuck. Danger.
I mean, I still think the game looks fun. I get it. I'm not as excited for it anymore because now there's new shiny things that have kind of taken away the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still looking forward to it. But man,
I hope it
looks different.
I hope it doesn't look like that and it looks better. But, you know, that's like the optimist in me. And I feel like I'm setting myself up for some disappointment. So
they got 2 months. They cannot delay that game again.
I wonder how we got from a game that we thought was going to be the must-have game of the new generation at launch to, huh?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like they pulled a reverse Rise.
Mm-hmm. Reverse Rise, that's funny.
Well, they went from utter crap to okay in 5 months.
Yeah.
So that's actually really good.
I seriously think that it's because they decided to make this a cross-gen game, and that just compromised
Absolutely.
The quality of it, yeah. Because, I mean, the engine and the city had to have to work on both platforms. And, yeah, you can kind of improve the performance between both by turning off post-processing and some shader effects. But the bottom line is it still needs to play the same on both generations. And that's very disappointing. So,
which is the good news about Batman.
Yeah. So, anyways, moving on. Really quickly, Last of Us movie confirmed. It is being produced by Ghost House and distributed by Screen Gems. They're both Sony houses, and this is already kind of disappointing.
Well, Screen Gems just distributing it, so I don't care that much. But Ghost House, man, they have a shitty track record. They have a really shitty track record.
God, the only thing that needs to be done right now is to announce that U Bull is actually fucking directing this movie.
Well, thankfully, Druckmann is writing it. Neil Druckmann's writing it. So at least the story will be good.
Mm-hmm.
But what director takes that story and shits it out? I mean, I don't have very many hope. The thing is, Screen Gems and Ghost House are known for working on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something like $20, $25 million is a big budget for them.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They did The Evil Dead, and The Evil Dead was really good.
Mm-hmm.
But this requires a lot more than that.
A little bit more finesse.
Just even on terms of set design, you have to establish a 20-year, dilapidated, fucked-up, post-apocalyptic world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to do that with $20 million.
No, not at all. It almost kind of reminds me of this expose I read this week about, you know, the creation of Street Fighter, the movie. You know, like, I think their budget was it, like $15 million or something like that? And then, like, I think Capcom just basically kept on, like, strapping more characters into it because, you know, they're money hungry like that, I guess, at the time. Even now. I hate it to be like that. I mean, geez. Yeah, no.
Well, this is if it even comes out.
Yeah, this is true. This might be in development hell, like the long-rumored, like, American McGee Alice movie that somebody...
Or Uncharted.
Yeah, or Uncharted movie.
They were making an Alice movie? Jesus, I'm behind.
Yeah.
Or Splinter Cell.
The World of Warcraft movie.
Yeah.
That's coming out. That's done. That's done.
Really?
What do you mean it's done? They're in pre-production?
They're in post-production.
They're in post? Done.
Yeah.
Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket. I don't believe it.
That's coming out. That's an actual thing. Duncan Jones directed that.
Mm.
I'll be dang.
The guy who directed Moon.
Okay.
All right. That's a real thing.
Okay. Well, we know it's coming out, so yay. More bad news. Disney Interactive basically lays off about 700 employees. This is from the Playdom division that they have.
Oh, that's the mobile and social gaming.
Yes, absolutely. I want to say, like...
Well, then it's no big loss.
Yeah. Well, I want to say, I mean, all their console development has been ferried out to, like, other, you know, platforms and developers, so that's no big deal.
Didn't they say that that's what they were going to focus on?
What?
Disney?
Licensing?
No, not licensing. They said they were going to concentrate on licensing for console games and then focus on mobile... For in-house development.
This is a mobile and social network developer, and I don't think that Facebook games have actually been, like, popular as of late.
Well, they do a lot of mobile games. Did you know there is a mobile Frozen game that's a lot like Candy Crush?
It's pretty fucking awful. I played it, and a lot of it
is... I watched that movie, by the way.
Yeah. I saw that. You liked it. That's pretty awesome.
I did like it.
Yeah. That's as much as we'll talk about that, because I can talk about Frozen for a whole episode. Anyways, but that's kind of interesting, though, that they are a social gaming kind of developer, though. I mean, yes, you know, mobile withstanding and stuff, sure. But the social network part is interesting to me, because I don't think a lot of people are playing social networking games anymore. I mean,
God, I hope not.
I mean, I don't know if, you know, do you guys think, like, people are still playing that genre?
I have no idea. I never started playing that genre.
I mean, even PopCap tried that with, like, you know, Plants vs. Zombies, you know, that free game that they had for, you know, for Facebook and stuff, which Ari absolutely hates. Yeah. So, no, I mean, this is no skin off of Disney Interactive's back, you know? Like, they pretty much said they're just going to license their stuff, which is, I think, smart, because Disney doesn't know anything about video games, and if they jump in, they're going to jump in a highly saturated market filled with, you know, more experienced developers and publishers. So I think them dissolving, you know, their part of, you know, that part of their business is pretty smart. It's just unfortunate that 700 employees had to suffer through it, you know? So, last article, I think, for tonight is Gone Home is coming to consoles. Please, 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 please just drop the price of $10, call it a day. Don't charge us $15 for it. Not worth it. Unless you're a fan, unless you are one of those hipster gamers and reviewers from Polygon that basically named it Game of the Year of 2013, sure, buy it for $60. I don't give a shit. I'm not.
I don't think it's going to be $60. I think it would be like 20 again or 15.
Oh, I'm completely exaggerating, but you know, like, just to be cool, like, I'm going to buy this game for $60 because I support the indie movement. Ha!
Yeah, I'm not doing that. did we talk about Batman last week?
Yeah, we did.
I don't know. We did?
We did.
No, we didn't.
We didn't?
They announced that on Monday, man.
This Monday? Last Monday.
Or, no, wait. I thought it was like last Friday or something.
I think.
Or last week.
Let me see.
We didn't
see.
Talk about Batman, man.
Yeah, we did. It's in the show notes.
Hmm.
Come on. It's in the freaking show notes. Dude, it's in the show notes.
I guess. Sorry.
I did remember like us talking about it because we were like, you know, I was telling you guys like
that's right. We talked about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was like pessimistic about it because, you know, yay, yeah. Open world. Fuck you, open world Batman.
Yep.
Bullshit.
Yep.
Anyways, that about does it for this episode of the Gamer Horizon After Hours podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes. Search for Gamer Horizon. You'll find us there. And, of course, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/GamerHorizon. That's where you can find all our posts being auto-posted and cross-posted, whatever the fuck you call it. So retweet it, follow us, and, of course, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/GamerHorizon, where we post other shit as well. Sometimes if we are nice, we even interact with you. And if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, you can email us at afterhourspodcast@gamerhorizon.com. So from all of us here on the Game Horizon After Hours podcast and website, this is Alex signing off saying, see you next week.
Later.
Bye.